I would like to discuss to you today the Yud Gimel Midos. Okay, today is the last of the Slichos. Tomorrow we have an abridged version of Slichos. Today is the finale. The finale, Hashem, Hashem, Kilrachum, Mechanun.
Tomorrow,
Shachris. Oh, that's by Shachris, by Mincha?
No.
Mincha,
no.
Shachris. Does everyone say Malkeinu or different Mincha? Because you're not going to be saying Malkeinu on Shabbos, so in order to make up. But is that universal? Is that accepted by all communities?
Yeah.
Okay, it could be very well. Could be
accepted everywhere.
Okay, but today is a very significant slichos. Okay, we say Hashem, Hashem, Kilrachum, Mechan, Erech Apayim. We say the Yud Gimel Midos. To say the Yud Gimel Midos, in Chazal's eyes, is a very serious matter. It is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu that it should be done at a time of Tzara. Rashi adds in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah only at a time of Tainus. Rashi has a lot of Mepharshim that deal with the issue of Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. They always make mention of Rashi. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nisatev Kashlich Tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dressed himself in a talis like a Shlich Tzibur, and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the 13 Midos of Rachamim and told Moshe that whenever Klal Yisrael finds themselves in an Eis Tzara, specifically during it, and they should come to him betainus, in a state of fasting, and they should recite the Yud Gimel Midos, and it's a guarantee that if they recite it with Kavan, Hashem will not turn them away, Hashem will answer their tefillos. And because of this reason, some people have the custom today to fast. Even though generally it used to be years ago that during the entire Aseret Mitzvah we would fast, and today it's too difficult, we don't do that. But those that don't fast, if they will fast, if they'll select one day to fast, today will be the day. Because being that of this Rashi, that Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim is recited as part of the Pizmon, even though we say the Yud Gimel Midos every single day, multiple times, and we recite Kel Melech Yoshev, anyway we say it, and Nusach Sfarat says it every single day when they after part of Tachnun, but today it's much more significant that it's being said Berabim, it is the centerpiece of the Slichos, it's the pizmon of the Slichos, so it's a special Eistratzon, and some hold that one indeed should fast. For that reason as well, many people today go to Tashlich. Okay, Tashlich, it's our custom to go on the first day Rosh Hashanah. If you don't go on the first day Rosh Hashanah, the next ideal time to go is today. Why today? Tashlich, the Ikar Tashlich are the last three psukim in Sefer Micha. And the last three psukim, Mikel Kamocha, Nosi Avon, Lover Al Pesha, L'Sheris Nachasa, we say these psukim very often, in the Slichos we say them very often, and it concludes Tashlich Bim Tzulos Yom. But besides the fact that it says Tashlich Bim Tzulos Yom Kol Chatoisam, there is a tradition, and it's very difficult to know how this works out, from the Ramak, that those three last three psukim correspond to the 13 midos of rachamim. Now, how in the world you break up those psukim into 13 midos of rachamim is a very big mystery. I know if you open up the art scroll, they'll try to match up the yud gimel midos of rachamim into these three psukim, but it's a little bit of a stretch sometimes. And indeed, there are many different opinions exactly how to break up those three psukim to allude to the 13 midos harachmim. Now, before we go further, there's just one very, very basic.
Why is today?
So this being that today is the slicha of the yud gimel midos harachmim. That's the pizmon today. The slichos today we say today in the slichos Hashem Hashem kelrach lemechanon. That was the pizmon today of this morning. That was the centerpiece of the slichos. So it's a day of the yud gimel for the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Therefore, it's ideal to recite Tashlich, which is the Psukim, which also correspond to the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Okay, so this is a common minhag. In fact, I got an email from a certain shul in this neighborhood. It's a Hasidic shul where they write, the email was reminded today with davening Shachris, basically in 45 minutes earlier than the rest of the Aseret Mitzvah. And after, it's a beautiful thing that they do, and after Shachris, we're all going together to Tashlich. After a field trip, field trips, and they will accommodate enough time. 45 minutes should be enough time. Everyone should get in their car. Do not say that they are buses. I think everyone has got in their private cars, and we're all going to go together as a shul, as a community, to say Tasha. I was very impressed. That's a very beautiful thing. You go together as a tzibur. They don't go on Rosh Hashanah, obviously. I guess because they die, either because they hold bedafka, they should either the rain, right? The first day the rain will bedafka. They bedafka hold. Not everyone social event. Not everyone. They daven very long, very late. So this is what they do. This is their custom. It's a very, very impressive thing. And this, in fact, is a very popular minhag to do it. Also, other reasons why people don't go in this in many communities, because you want to go to a live body of water. It's no fun. We're going to go today to in walking distance in this neighborhood in Rosh Hashanah. We're going to go a live body of water and go walk all the way to Avenue Z to Manhattan Beach. You can't do that on Rosh Hashanah. It'll take you an hour just to get there. Now to get back, who has koyach for this? So where are you going to go? There's nowhere. You go to a pond, to Brooklyn College, like I used to go all the years to Brooklyn College. It's no fun. It's no fun going there, even though they put fish, and in recent years Brooklyn College is very proud to host Tashlich. They open up in a public way, and they provide their community service. It's good.
Thanks to Assembly Member Rhoda J. She organized this 15 years.
So they used to just do, like you talk about security. Years ago, when I first came to the Flatbush, there was no security in Brooklyn College. Zero. Anyone could just walk in. I went to Brooklyn College. When I was in Brooklyn College, they instituted for the first time, every student now has to have a pass, have to have a card. Also, I was such a mishagas. They went to get cards, and then until they got it going, and then they got much, much more sophisticated. Over time, they got much more sophisticated, and then they put up high-tech barriers and security, and one thing led to the other. Now it's already Fort Knox. There's more security there than the White House. What? Okay, but
the meaning of challah throwing in for the dogs.
Challah into this. So there is such a thing to it. It's not. You're not allowed to feed animals, and you're not responsible. There is such a thing. You're not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos. But fish is a good sign when you have a head of a fish that we should increase our smith. So in order to draw attention to the fish, so we feed the fish. It becomes a tzarech. It's like we adopt them. They're our fish, and we want to draw attention that our Kadosh Baruch Hu should cause us to increase the yirbu l'roiv b'karev ha'aretz, like fish. So therefore we feed the fish. There is some custom in this side. Okay, but let's get back to the Yud Gimel Midas Racham. The biggest mystery of Yud Gimel Midas Racham is, why does there have to be a number 13? What's this all about? There has to be a number 13. And let's do a basic question. Taryag mitzvos. Why does there have to be taryag mitzvos? The Gemara says, it's a Talmud. It appears that even though we have the Talmud, it could be there are midrashim which hold that no, there's no such thing as taryag 613. So etched into our blood, our DNA 613. In the pomegranate, a pomegranate has 613 pits, if there really are, whatever it is. What? In the seeds, okay, whatever. Why does there need to be a number? We like numbers, somehow it makes us comfortable. All right, so it's not, and what are the 613 mitzvos? It's not so clear. Everyone, the money has mitzvos. The Rambam has his counting, the Sefer, the Smag, Sefer mitzvos gedolos, and you have the Chinuch. All the Rishonim, the Ramban has a different counting. Everyone has their own counting of mitzvos. So first, take that idea, Taryag. Why does there have to be Taryag? Ask the same question. Why does there have to be 13? Where in the Torah did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, whenever there's an etzara, I want you to fast, put on a talis, and daven be mispalel with 13. Just as it say, be mispalel with the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not really clear. There is a medrash in, I think I have it over here. The medrash really presents three opinions. A shocking medrash. The medrash says there are three opinions of how many midos there are. Well, we know there are 13. The second opinion says there are 11 midos. And the third opinion says there are only 10 midos harachamim. So the Medrash Beferish presents a three-way machlokes. Could be it's in Shemos, Medrash Rab and Shemos. Three-way machlokes. Are there really 13 midos? Who says there has to be 13? It can be 11, or it can be the number 10. Okay, now, assuming there is 13, what is the significance of the number 13? So we all know 13 is Bigmatria, Echad, one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That is the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim. We want to connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Hashem is one. He is Echad. Therefore, it has to be everything that defines the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midos of Hashem has to be related to the number 13, which is Echad. Yes?
There are
a million things. Rabbi Asher Levine, not related. Yeah, what?
The configuration of Klal Yisrael
is
Zu. 12 plus Levi.
12 plus Levi, okay.
Right. And then there's the 13 groups.
Midos, 13 Yigim Animamins, and there are the 13 Midos Atar Nidreshes. I actually wrote down long. I looked in the book. There's a book that we went through the whole sefer, right? Asher Levine, the wisdom of numbers, the wisdom of numbers. So he has there probably 20, 30 different things. Number 13. There's one idea that I enjoy very much is that the letters Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How many letters are there in Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? 13 letters. How many letters are there in Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah? 13. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know, but 13 means Echad. Okay, the best part, the Yisod, it's probably the most powerful Yisod of 13 is, it's Echad. Ech 13, Echad is Begematria 13. And when you define the essence of Hashem, it's one other idea, it's a little bit more esoteric, but I think there's something to it. Let me just give you an example where we'll fill the number 8. 7 and 8. The world is a world of 7. That everyone agrees. No one's going to argue with that. 7 is a significant number. 7 is a mice and gracious. What's 8? A Chanukah 8 was l'mala miderech hateva. Shmini atzeres l'mala. But there's another mahalach in the number 8. And 8 is a hakof. What is the 8th day of the week? What's the 8th day of the week? Sunday. Sunday, it's Akafa. In the Sefer Torah, Ksav Beis Yosef, how do you write the letter Ches in the Sefer Torah? Two Zions. Why is Ches two Zions? Because what is 8? 8 is the number which takes you, continues the cycle. 8 is the connection from cycle 7 to another cycle of 7. 8 represents to go, to continue in an infinite loop. It represents infinity. 8 represents infinity in the Olam HaTeva.
Can you write infinity as a sideways 8?
Could be. There could be something to that. 8 represents infinity in the Olam HaTeva. Now here's the Vart. Just like 8 represents infinity in the Olam HaTeva of nature, 13 is infinity in the Olam of Ruchnius. Why? Klal Yisrael, Amzu Yitzchak, Klal Yisrael, how many Shvatim are there in Klal Yisrael? 12. There are 12 Shvatim. Klal Yisrael, the essence of Yisrael is 12. There are 12 Chodoshim. The number 12, without going into all the significance of the number 12, 12 is a very spiritual number. Let us leave it for now. There are 12 Shvatim. Klal Yisrael is primarily, I know you have Levi, Ephraim, Menashe, but let's basically there are 12 Shvatim. So what is 13? 13 means 12 plus. It's not just 12 plus. It means that the cycle. It means the infinite cycle. The interconnectivity of the Ruchnius. When you go to the next, there's no 13. 13 takes you back to the beginning, meaning that all of the Shvatim are part of one Guf. One mitzias of Ruchnius. It's the parallel in the Olam HaRuchni to the number 8 in the Olam HaGashmi. So when you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to connect Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachel, Mechan, we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual essence for the Hashem should have compassion upon us. It has to be defined in the number 13. Because in the spiritual world, there is something which is abstract time. It's defined in 12. There are 12 months. There are 12 hours in the day. 12 hours at night. There are 12 mazalos and shemayim. In the spirituality, 12 is the number. 13 represents the connection, the hakafa, the infinite nature of spirituality. That's one mal. Now, with that in mind, okay, so there's 13. Okay, we've established there are 13. It's a machlokes. It's a 13. It's 11. It's a 10. Okay, 13. Whatever reason. Now is the big, big mystery to which I'm telling you there is no answer. What are the 13 midos? Can you define? Just like you will go out, you'll have a very difficult time telling me what are the Taryag Mitzvos, because the Ramban has a sheet on the Ramban, and the Smag and the Chinuch, you'll have the... Try to do something on a much smaller scale. 13, try to find. I'll give you another example. We're going to say this in Yom Kippur, the Asara Harugi Malchus. Please identify to me who are the Asara Harugi Malchus. We only are familiar with two Piyutim. We only have El Eskra and Arze Halavanan. They pretty much have, well, not one. One is missing. Only has eight. There's a missing part in the El Eskra to make up the 10. They're similar. But there's a sefer that was recently published by his name is Wilner. I forgot his first name. His last name was Wilner, and he presents there 42 piyutim that were composed by Kadmonim for the Asara Gemalchus. And if you want to combine all of the names, there are about 25 candidates. 25 candidates at least for the Asara Harugi Malchus. 25 people that are vying to be from the Tena. So you can't even define the Asara Harugi Malchus. You can't define Taryag Mitzvos. So part of this exclusive club of things that cannot be defined are the Yud Gimel Midos Harach. Now let me illustrate this. The Gemara, Hashem just did it. That's the point. Hashem just did it. I don't think the Gemara actually says Yud Gimel. Does the Gemara say, I don't remember. Hashem told Moshe, Hashem nis'atef kishliach tzibor, and he said, do kiseder hazeh. Hashem never said the number 13. That's the point I wanted to make. Why do we have to have 13? Why do we have to have? Why are we brainwashed? 13. Okay, but what? Kiseder hazeh. Hazeh, zeh, zeh.
Zeh is 12.
Zeh is 12.
And what is 13? The word itself.
Im Akoila. Midwood. Okay, Im Akoila. Alright, so the question. Okay, so that's one question. Yeah, why 13? That's what we discussed. You're right. You don't have to have 13. But for whatever reason, 13 is 13. We like the number 13. Now that we want to say there are 13, okay, show me. Point to the number 13. Now let me show you all the candidates. Let me present you the candidates. It's a pasuk in Kisi. So this was what got us through the Chet to Egel. Hashem says to Moshe, "Do kaseder hazavayir Hashem be'anon va'yitzasevi Moshe ma'yikra v'shem Hashem." And he called out. Who called out? By the way, we say this so many times. It's machlokes. Va'yikra, either Hashem called out or Moshe called out. It's machlokes. Who's the one who called out? Two different interpretations. Now va'yavor Hashem al pono va'yikra. And who called? Either Moshe called or Hashem called. Moshe through Ruach HaKodesh, two different interpretations of who's the one who called. Here are all the candidates. Now, I don't know how to count, so you'll help me. There are three types of people in this world. Those who know how to count, and those who don't. My mathematicians over here, you didn't give me enough. Okay. If you didn't get the joke, come see me later.
I'll give you a discount.
Okay. Here are the candidates. Hashem. Okay, that's one. Hashem. Nochamo. Hashem, that's already two, right? Count with me. Hashem. Kel, three. Rachum, four. Chanun, five. Erech Apayim. How many is that?
Two.
It should say Erech Af. Hashem is slow to anger. Af. Why does it say Apayim? A double Apayim. Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient with the tzaddikim. Does not give them reward right away. That's an act of rachamim, not to reward them right away. The very deep idea. And Hashem is patient with Rishon. So Erech Apayim, according to many Rishonim, is two. It's two. Okay, that's already, what is it, 5, 6? Okay, 5, 6. The Rav Chesed, that's 7. The MS is 8. Notzer Chesed, that's 9. La Alofim. Alofim is a separate midah because Hashem guards kindness, but he guards kindness for one generation. Hashem guards kindness for 1,000 generations. The midah of Toivah is 500 times the midah of punishment. Ra is only 4 generations, and this is so. This is the 1,000 generations. There's 2,000 generations. The ratio is 500, 2,000 to 4. So that's already another midah. So we're up to that's already 9, 10. It's already 10. No say avon. Hashem forgives avon. 11. Pesha. 12. Chata. 13. What? It's already 13. Venake is 14. Lo yinake is 15. Hashem does not forgive Rishoyim, which is an act of rachamim. Also, we're losing count already because I'm getting confused. But let's say 15. Poked avon avos al banim. Hashem is patient. He doesn't punish the parents. He waits for the next generation to see what's going to happen. That's another me that's already 6. That's already 16, 15, 16. Whatever. Because Hashem is patient. He waits a generation. If the children continue to do the aver of the father, will Hashem punish the children. But if the children will do tshuva, Hashem forgets about everyone, the father and the son. And then Hashem sometimes shows compassion to the grandchildren, b'nei banim. That's even a greater midah. And then comes al shilashim. And then comes al ridayim. Okay, the numbers keep on going higher and higher. And then the pasuk takes a break. Vayimaher Moshe vayikaratz vayishtachu vayomim no motzachim inecha Hashem yiluchna Hashem bekabenu kiam sharfu. And then Hashem says, guess what? V'solachta, I'm going to forgive lavaynenu. That's another one. V'lachat asenu. That's another one. Unichaltanu. That's another one. So we have basically, approximately, there are about 20 candidates. Or maybe even more, even at least 20 candidates for the Yud Gimel Midas for the 13. So which are they? What are they?
Why is Hashem Kael included as a Midas?
Because the Chazal say Hashem is Midas Harachem. Hashem is Yudke Vavke is Midas Harachem. Chazal say Hashem has Rachmanis on a person before he does an Avera, which simply means that Hashem knows the future. Hashem ani Hashem koidem achet, ani Hashem acher achet. And Hashem, this infinite knowledge, knows that we are going to sin, so Hashem should punish us in advance. Al Shem Asid. Hashem is mitzansem himself. He makes believe he does not know what's happening in the future, not to punish us prematurely. That is an act of compassion, mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then after we sin, Hashem also forgives us. So basically, you go through the psukim, you'll come out with at least 20 candidates for the Yod Gimel Midas Rachman.
The first one it said 13. Where's the first time it said?
So I think it's the Gemara. If not the Gemara, then it's the Rishonim for sure. The early Rishonim. But I think the Gemara actually says, or maybe it's a Medrash. The Gemara is Asek Seder Hazeh. So who's the first source that says 13? I don't know. I apologize. I don't know who the earliest source. But there's this tradition that it's 13. Now here's the problem. Among the list of Rishonim, you have a Tosfos. The Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, I think it's Daf Yud Zayin. There's a Tosfos, long Tosfos. There's Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Nissim, and then there's the Baalei Tosfos. There are three just there to give different opinions as to the Yud Gimel Midas Harachem. Then there's also the Shita of the Sefer HaChasidim, Rabbi Yudah HaChasid. He has another opinion. Then you have the opinion of the Ralbag. I think that Barbanel also has a Mahalik, the 13 Midos. There are a long, long list. Ibn Ezra has a unique Mahalik. Maral, okay, dealing with some much later on. The Maral has a Mahalik in the Yud Gimel Midos, yeah?
That's what I'm looking at right now. And the quote from the Gemara
that
you mentioned
it
adds,
Omar Rabbi Yehuda,
Rizkur
Sol,
Yud Gimel Midos,
Non Chazaros Reikon. The Gemara says this.
Yeah.
Where daf is that?
That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. So it's the Gemara, the Talmud. You're dealing with the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. This was the Gemara is recorded based upon traditions that were taught from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's how far back it goes. Before the Bayis Sheni, that goes back to Sinai. The Masur from Sinai, there is 13. Problem is we have here 20, at least 20 candidates, and among the candidates we have a long list of Rishonim. Now what are the variables? Okay, the variables are, like I told you, Erech HaPayim. Hashem is slow to anger. Is that one or is that two? Because it should say Erech Af. Hashem is slow to anger. Apayim, double patience. He's patient with tzaddikim, and he's patient with Rishon. That's one variable. When it says Hashem, like you said, Why repetition? How could it be Hashem Hashem be two midos?
But is it one category?
Is it one category? Is it two categories? Maybe Hashem means Hashem said. Vayikra b'shem, something along those lines. Kel. Is Kel part of the Yud Gimel? I think of Sefer Chassidim says it's not. Or the Maral says it's not. It starts with Rachem. Hashem, Hashem, Kel is just identifying a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It starts with Rachem. There's a psik. Another reason why...
Not an adjective.
Exactly, right. When it says Noitzer Chesed Lo Alafim, is that one or is that two? Maybe that's one. Hashem is Noitzer Chesed for 1,000 generations. That's one category. You want to say it's two. Hashem is Noitzer Chesed, that's one. And then in the amount of time for 1,000 generations, another midah. At the end, when you say no, say Ovoin Pesha V'chata, is that one? Because there's only one verb. Hashem is no, say He forgives. So are all of those three considered one? Or maybe we break it up into two. When it says V'solachta at the very end, V'solachta la'avoneinu u'l'chatoseinu u'nechaltonu, is that three? Is that one? Or is that zero? That's already after it's over. When it says V'nake, V'lo nake, is that one? Is that two? Or is that one? Or we just stop, V'nake, we stop, that's one, and everything else that's for the Rishoy. When it says Poiked Ovoin Ovos Al Bonim, Al Bnei Bonim, Al Shileshim V'Al Ribeim, is it one? Is it zero? Or is it four? How do you break up? All of these things are variables in the entire pasuk. Of among all the Rishonim, everyone has a different opinion, everyone has a different understanding of what it means, and that's why there's really no way to define what exactly are the mystery, what exactly are the 13 midos, assuming that we have to have a number. Now I want to point out, yeah? Oh, that's what I'm coming to right now. Problem is, so why don't you say, okay, very nice, why don't we just go to the videotape? Let's go to look at the Nusach HaTzilah. Let's talk, you mentioned Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, the minig is that when the Shliach Tzibur gets to Vayavar Shem Al Pono Vayikra, he stops. Vayikra, and Vayavar Shem Al Pono Vayikra, and everyone was like, and what do we say? Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachel, Mechan, Erech, Apai, Rav Chesav, Emes, Nos, Chesel, Lo, Alephim, Nos, Alephesh, Vechato, Vinakei. That's the article, the bold stops after Vinakei. So that indicates, from the Minog Yisrael, that the two Hashems are separate Midos. Because otherwise, Vayavar Hashem, Alpana, Vayikro, Hashem, then the Shliach Tzibur should say, Vayavar, I also Nusach Atil, Vayavar Hashem Al Pana, Vayikra Hashem. And Hashem called out. And then we should say, Hashem Kel Rachel Mechan. Or the Shliach Tzibur should say, Vayavar Hashem Al Pana, Vayikra Hashem Hashem. And we should start with Kel. Or Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kel. And we should start with Rachum. And we should continue going. Why do we stop Vinake? We should say Vinake, Lo Yinake, Poikade, Ovon, Ovos, Albon, Albanab, and Nashlish, Valibame. So why don't we stop? The fact that we do it in this manner indicates that we have accepted pretty much what we do, pretty much seems to fit from the Arizal, his opinion, that you start with Hashem, Hashem, and you conclude with Vinake, and you group together Notzer Chesel Lo Alofim as one, and Erech Apayim counts as one. Then it comes out you have Hashem, Hashem, Kel, those are already three. Notzer Chesel Lo Alofim is one, Erech Apayim is one, Vinake is the last one, there you got your 13. But if that is correct, like that's what the Arizal says, big question to ask you. Why then does the Tzibur say together V'solachto lavoneinu ulchatoseinu unechaltonu? Why are we doing that? What's the inyan? That's not part of the asay kaseder hazeh. The Tzibur should do like this, and I will forgive you. Today, what was the nus deslicha today? What did you say today? The first line of the pismain, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachel, Mechan, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesav Yemes, Notzer Chesel, Lo Alofim, Notzer Elo Feshav, Vechato, Vinakei, V'solachto, Lavoneinu, Ulechadoseinu, Nechaltanu. Why is that part of the pismain? Why are we eating those words? No matter how you could, this is the word, so bizarre. There is no shita that go they like I give you the five or six basic shitas that starts with Hashem with Hashem and concludes Solachta Lavonen Ulchatasein Lchaltanu and counts that part as 13. Those that want to use the end are not going to use Hashem Hashem Kel, or they're going to use Nosi Olvan Vafesha Vechato Poiket Olvan Olvas Albanim, the part that we do not say. So basically, we are doing something which does not work out like anyone. Okay, talk about what the only thing which does work out partially is Shabbos and Yom Tov morning. Yom Tov, when you take out the Sefer Torah, you say the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachim. How do you start? Hashem, Hashem. Where do you end? Vinakei. No one says V'solachta Lavoneinu Ulchatasein Ulchaltanu. That's the only time where it does work out according to the Arizal. And in fact, that Nusach comes from the Arizal. And there you don't say but the pizmon that we say on today and that we will say at Ne'ilah, we're doing something which doesn't fit according to any one of the opinions. What we do during Kriya Satara also doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Tezner, he makes this point. Look, he goes all the shittas. I have this from the Shari Hayam Haroim. He goes through 5-6 shitas. He shows all the differences, and he goes through all the various things, times during the year when we kriyas the Torah, slichos, and Yom Tov, and what we basically do does not conform. There are contradictions. So how do we make sense of the contradiction? We have no choice but to say is that ein habracha mitzuya eladavar hasam in ayin. When it comes to, just like we have a concept, when you want bracha, you don't count your money. Don't. The bracha is always found when it's hidden. In matters of spirituality, if it's hidden, it's even a bigger bracha. When you want to connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Yud, the Gimel, Midah, Sarachanim, there's no way you can properly define the 13. Whatever we're doing in all various parts of Nusach HaTfilah, we are contradicting one another in the calculation of the 13. Why? To hide the nature, the true number 13, the true Echad, which is Echad, 13, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad, in order that we can maximize the bracha, Malei Asamecha Sava, Ein HaBracha Mitzuya El Bedavar HaSamoy Min Ha'ayim. Okay, I want us to conclude with at least one short vart. Do we have a machzor here by any chance? Is there a machzor, a Yom Kippur machzor?
The Rav that lives on Bedford Avenue, 613, so they're called Tayag Bedford.
Tayag Bedford. How much? Okay. This year is a special year in that Yom HaKippur Mischal Liyos B'Shabbos. So Dr. Fruchter, you mentioned this point about Yom HaKippur being Chal on Shabbos. Now normally you would say, listen, okay, so it's Yom Kippur and it's Shabbos. It just happens to be they come together, so we have two milas. That's not the proper way to look at it. I'll give you an example. What happens when Rosh Chodesh is Chal Liyos B'Shabbos? On Shabbos, what do you normally say for Musaf Tikan to Shabbos? On Rosh Chodesh, what do you normally say? What's the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh Liyam Chonosata. What happens when Rosh Chodesh is Chal Liyos B'Shabbos? So you would assume Tikan to Shabbos, and you would add Yalev Yavo. Yet, it's a whole different nusach. The nusach is transformed into a nusach of Ato Yotzarte Lelamcha, which basically is kemat the nusach of Musaf for the Sholosh Ugalim. When the two come together, it's not just Shabbos and also Rosh Chodesh. It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's also Shabbos. The combination of the two together creates a day that is completely different. It demands its own musaf, its own nusach, which is equivalent kemat to the sholosh ugalim, the nusach of Ato Yetzarta. If this is true for Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, al achas kama v'kama when Yom HaKippur mischal Yos B'Shabbos. And in fact, it's merumas, it's hidden in the Nusach HaTfilah. When you say the Nusach HaTfilah, we start by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato v'chartanu, you gave us this day, Matiti lan Hashem lokeinu be'ahava. What did you give us? Hashabbos hazeh, wonderful, you gave us Shabbos. Likdushav lemnuch, very good. You also gave us this, Yoim HaKippurim hazeh lemechilo, You also gave us two separate, so far we started out on a very innocent level. But then we do something that's very shocking. And what's shocking is that we come to the end of the bracha. Okay, when you get the, come to the bracha, we say, let me find the place over here. The Tahir Libenu, Baruch Atah Hashem Moichel La'avoinois. No, no, that's not the point that I want. It is Kachem V'Selim Sosera Sabenu. The Tahir Libenu Yadacham Es. Okay, Ki Ata Sochem Mochel Lisholim Mochel Shul Yishuv Mochel Dovedom Mibaldech Ein Lan Melech Mochel V'Zichel La'ata. That's not the part that I wanted. Give me 1 second to find the part that I wanted. Okay, but this case, this is Mecha Toenu. Give me 1 second. The ask, this is, again, give me just a half a sec. Let me turn to, this is the Musaf. Let me just turn to the Mincha. Mincha or Shachris. Okay, here it is. In the Yalav Yava. In the Yalav Yava, Titan Behava, okay, we have these 2 days. And then we say in the Elokeinu, Elokeinu L'Avonoseinu, Mechol L'Avonoseinu, forgive our sins. Mechol L'Avonoseinu, B'yoyim HaShabbos HaZeh, U'v'yom HaKippur Ma'zeh. Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to say, forgive our sins, B'yoyim HaShabbos HaZeh? That's not dependent upon Shabbos. That depends on Yom Kippur. Just like we start out by beginning, there are two separate days. There's a day you gave us Shabbos and you gave us Yom HaKippurim. You gave us Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim. Limchol l'chapar, limchol bo'ez kol haseinu. So then when we describe Elokeinu, Elokeinu haseinu, mechol avon haseinu, why b'yom HaShabbos hazeh? U'v'yom HaKippurim hazeh? And why do we keep mentioning mikol chatas l'fnei Hashem titaru, katsheinu b'mitzvah secha, v'chilinu b'mitzvah secha, savinu b'mitzvah sanach, nashim b'mitzvah secha. Okay, that's the part. It's only this part. This edition is something which has drawn the attention of, I think, one of the rabbanim from Brisk. I'm not sure which one of the Brisk are of, but if you were writing the nusach, it's not muchach. We would add in b'yom haShabbos hazeh. You would just say, look, we have a seinu mechol av nuseinu b'yom haKippur mazeh, because that's not related to the essence of kapara. Kapara is totally in Yom Kippur. It's not totally in Shabbos. Shabbos we mentioned. We mentioned Shabbos in the beginning. You gave us the Shabbos and you gave us Yom HaKippur. They're two separate things. Shabbos is the day of menucha. We actually say, as yom haShabbos hazeh, what Shabbos? Shabbos is l'kedusha of l'menucha. That's all Shabbos is. V'yes Yom HaKippurim hazeh. What's Yom HaKippurim? L'mechila v'l'slicha. That's it. L'chapara. That's it. There's no need now when we're going to focus on the Itzumu Shalyoy Mechol L'avon Eseinu. Forgive our sins. Why do you have to mention B'yom HaShabbos hazeh U'v'yom HaKippurim hazeh? The answer is because when Yom Kippur is Chal Yos B'Shabbos, it's not just Yom Kippur, that's also Shabbos. It's just like the Ato Yotzarta. When the two come together, the potency of Yom HaKippurim is on an entirely different sphere. It's an entirely different level. And Baruch Hashem, this year we have that Zuchus, that Yom Kippur is also Shabbos. And that Zuchus of Shabbos will be able to take us to a higher level. We all have a wonderful Yom HaKippurim, Megugu Ben-Yar, Gemar Chasim HaTorim, Megugu Ben-Shiar. The Zuchus HaTorah should take you through the Koyach of the Yom HaDin. And we say to the Lenil, Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. Think about the Koyloh. You think about the Koyloh, and that's supposed to take you through the Yom HaDin. Be well.